Welcome to the Week Ahead podcast. I'm market analyst Steve Daglian. I'm joined by my colleague and friend and chief economist Craig James to preview the week starting the 3rd of April for investors. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, Steve. It's good to be here.
Great to have you here as well. Well, look, it's been a decent week for markets, the final few days of an underwhelming and very challenging month because of the US banking turmoil mainly. So we're still down from where we were before, you know, a couple of US banks collapsed a few weeks ago. But we're having a solid end to the month, four straight days of gains. We're on track to finally end this nasty seven-week losing streak in April. You know, tends to, at least more often than not, been a decent month for markets, partly because of all those dividends being paid perhaps.
Well, if you look at the situation globally, you know, so some of the negative news flow that we've had in terms of banking has dried up a bit. So the whack-a-mole seems to have worked. You know, so the banks on the head, no new problems are popping up. And so it's an encouraging development. We've had some merger and acquisition activity here in Australia as well. I think there's been a degree of stabilisation, I suppose, in terms of some of the safe havens like the US dollar in terms of gold. The oil price has stabilised as well. So far so good. You know, sort of as we end March and move into April, and as you say, April tends to be, you know, sort of a bit more of a positive month of the year for the share market.
And of course, there's no guarantee that will happen again. Things can obviously, April can be a month where markets move back as well. But The US banking turmoil aside, well, you know, it's always a risk, of course, in the upcoming week as well that other banks receive a bit of attention. But the Reserve Bank Board meeting, that's probably going to be one of the most closely watched that we've had in around a year, I would say.
Yeah, no, you have to go back to when they started increasing interest rates to find a more important time. And the very key decision, do you leave interest rates where they are at the moment? Do you pause, move to the sidelines and assess a little bit more data, or do you do one further final interest rate hike of 0.25% and then retire to the sidelines? And of course, you may sort of say, look, we're not going to retire to the sidelines. We're, you know, sort of going to keep, you know, sort of very much a focus on lifting interest rates. So there's a lot to unpack. You know, so there's a lot for the Reserve Bank to explain. And of course, after the Reserve Bank Board decision on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday, the Reserve Bank Governor fronts the media, effectively, the National Press Club in Sydney.
Yeah, and that's at 12:30 p.m. Sydney time or Eastern Standard Time at that point. That's going to be fascinating stuff. So it looks like it's going to be a close call, could go either way. I guess the two possible outcomes would be either keep rates on hold or a small rate hike of 0.25%, because in late April, we've got that quarterly update on inflation as well, which is much more comprehensive than the monthly figures that we had just yesterday. So that's going to be super interesting. But we'll wait and see how that pans out. I mean, how do you think markets could potentially react if, say, there is an interest rate hike on Tuesday?
Well, I think it really gets down to the words which are associated with it. You know, so I think most market participants know that effectively there's, you know, a decision of either leaving interest rates unchanged or, you know, so hiking, you know, rates by another 0.25%. But then it's the additional information. Are we, you know, sort of now going to go into a pause mode and sit there for a while? Are we going to maintain a rate hiking bias, or is it going to be a more neutral stance? Mm. So there's a lot of complications there, and I think, you know, sort of it's hard to predict how the investors are going to respond until we get, you know, so the full information that comes through.
That makes sense. And as you pointed out, Wednesday as well, with that the speech by the RBA governor, he could flesh out a little more about what he's thinking and perhaps provide some insights as well of what's ahead. So Reserve Bank, key thing next week for Australia as far as economic updates is concerned. Lots of data as well in the US. What do you think is going to be the main thing to watch there?
Well, it's going to be jobs, yeah, you know, sort of jobs, you know, sort of next week in the United States. It's usually inflation, but of course, we look at jobs with a view on what that means for wage pressures, what that means for inflationary pressures. And you know, the expectation is around 238,000 jobs would have been added in the month of March. The expectation also is that we see the jobless rate remaining at 3.6%. So it's a historically low level of unemployment, and certainly that but it has the potential for upward pressure on wages and upward pressure on prices. The other component to watch out for in terms of the jobs figures on Friday is hourly earnings, and the estimate is 0.3% growth in the month. That wouldn't be such a bad outcome, because if you annualise that, we're talking about 3.6%, and that's a figure that wouldn't spook the Federal Reserve, you know, sort of too much. But that really is the focal point. I think the other two things, well, the other thing to watch is the purchasing manager indexes. That's super important because it's one of the more timely measures of activity. And looking at the manufacturing and services sector, we've got the ISM gauge, you know, sort of coming out on Monday with the manufacturing index, and then on Wednesday we've got the services index. And as I say, you know, sort of the purchasing manager in any particular business should understand, you know, sort of what's going on in that business. And if you survey them all, you should get an understanding of basically in terms of what's happening in that economy, the United States economy. We'll get purchasing manager indexes out of Australia as well. So it happens right the way across the globe at this time of the month.
Yeah, so quite timely indicators. And probably the scariest thing for markets would be if those job numbers in the US are super strong. The unemployment rate is dropping. There are hundreds of thousands of jobs being added, because then everyone's going to think that, you know, what's the Fed going to do with this and how much further do they have to go? The interesting thing as well with those job figures is we're going into a holiday shortened week, of course.
Yes.
So the US market will be shut on Friday for Good Friday. And then most of, the Australian market, the markets in New Zealand, the London Stock Exchange, most of Europe will be closed on Friday and also Monday. So we won't actually have a chance to react to that outcome until Tuesday the following week. So there'll be a bit of a delay and catch up for us here.
Yeah, it makes it more complicated for investors at this time of the year. There's varying dates in terms of holidays, but yeah, it's a case of being alert, not alarmed, I suppose, is the usual phrase. And that's certainly going to be the case, yes, in the coming week, moving into the following week.
And a remarkable amount of money's been paid out in dividends recently. Obviously, one of the biggest weeks of the year has just passed. Is that going to continue next week?
Well, we will see a further flow of dividend payments that will continue through April and into May, basically. You know, sort of. But we have had the B of the week, something like $18 billion worth of dividends. And that's falling inside people's accounts. You may go into their bank accounts. People make the usual decision, am I going to spend it? In this sort of environment, a lot of people, you know, want to get every, you know, penny that they can, because the cost of living, you know, is going up. Do they reinvest it back into the company that's provided them with the dividend, or they utilise those funds and say, perhaps there's other opportunities out for me? So it does raise a tremendous opportunities, you know, sort of for investors. And and as we were saying, yes, we've had the big week last week where people are still probably deciding what to do, and those flows will occur in the next couple of weeks as well.
And the $18 billion, that's mainly thanks to just six companies, essentially, six of the 10 biggest dividend-paying companies, you know, mainly CBA, BHP, Fortescue, and a few others like Telstra. Yep. In the coming week, something like $6 billion, a bit more than that, according to your data, Craig. Woodside is going to be the big one. It's the second largest dividend payer on our market, and then CSL. So they're two to watch for as well.
Yeah, if you've got your favourite stock, you know, sort of go to the Commonwealth Bank, you know, so website, yes, you know, the Comstock website, you know, so you'll be able to see, yes, you know, the timeline of dividend payments and see when your favourite company, you know, sort of is paying out your dividend.
And also just daylight saving is just something to be mindful of. Obviously, it's a sad time for some when daylight saving ends and things get dark quickly, and you know, you leave work and things are pitch black outside. Right. But it's important as well, of course, for those trading global markets. The US market will be shutting at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or Sydney time next week rather than 7 a.m. So it's just something to be mindful of, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. You want to be on top of these sorts of things. You don't want to be caught by surprise. Yes.
Okay, Craig. Well, thank you for your time, and thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.